Hey, everybody, welcome back. You actually caught us in the middle of a very deep conversation about science.
We're scientists.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to Rethink Podcast. If they would just ask us the questions, we would have the answers. Well, Here's what we should do.
Well, yeah, we know everything.
Not everything. Which we'll probably prove today.
We'll get there at some point, yeah.
You know, it's been pointed out to me over the last 2 weeks, there's a lot I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you have some videos to watch?
I do. Several people have suggested that I get educated on some different things, and there's some validity to that.
Sure.
But so here's our format today. I don't know what we're going to cover.
Which is fun.
So I just told Cole, hey, rapid fire me any questions on the past couple of weeks of the world, the church, you know, Ben's getting ready to go on vacation. So Ben throws a grenade in the room and leaves town.
Which is the right way to
That's
do it.
That's the right way to
That's
do it.
That's right. Yeah.
So depending on how this podcast goes, I may be
you
going.
You might be doing the same thing.
See you in August.
Do you want me to teach on stage?
I would like that.
Cool. I'll do that whenever you want me to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to need some meds.
Yeah. I'll get back on them.
You get a little nervous. Yeah. A little worked up.
Yeah. I'm better now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get as worked up when I get on stage now. Those first couple times were.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did well.
Thanks.
Yeah. You did well. Except your pants popped open.
Yeah, that was a rough. Did we tell that story on the podcast?
We did tell that story. Yeah.
That was
but you know what's a good day in America right now?
The gyms are open.
The gyms are open. Yep. And today was arm day.
Yep. You look good.
Well, thank you. You do too.
Thank you. It was chest day for me. International chest day is Monday.
I started Thursday and then I was gone the weekend and then I went back today. Both were arm days.
Yeah. Well, there's enough time in there to regroup.
Yeah, I believe that.
Absolutely.
So Cole's going to fire me just questions and I don't know what the questions are, but I'm going to give him maybe 30 seconds. And so.
Our
studio audience over here, which is some antelope and
John C.
You just say, hey, that's about it. And I'll try to wrap it up. But we're already going 2 minutes and we haven't covered anything except arm day,
which is an important topic.
And science.
Really, that's everything.
Yeah.
We've gotten it all.
The science of arm day.
Yeah. All right, let's start.
Okay, go.
So I think one of the biggest questions we've gotten.
Okay, cut. No, yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, it's over.
I'm just practicing.
Yeah, that's good. The biggest question I think we've gotten over the past 4 months is when is Flatirons reopening and what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to figure that out now, but we've had some conversations with the government, with things going on. Keep us up to date as much as you can as of right now.
Good luck. All right. So, so Colorado now has opened up churches to up to 50% of their capacity or 50 people, whichever is less.
Yeah.
Okay. So, our largest campus is 4,200 people, and our smallest campus is 400 people.
Yep.
And so that includes all personnel in the building. So
volunteers.
Yeah, volunteers. So to pull off a weekend at Flatirons, it takes that many volunteers and then people, personnel, and staff. And so that means that there'd be nobody in the audience.
None.
You know. So, this is going to go. This is a big one, guys. This is a big one. So we met with the state of Colorado on Saturday from the health department, from Polis's whatever he does.
Yeah.
And he governs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not been going so well the last couple
weeks.
Anyway, another
another
thing.
Topic.
So they toured the whole facility and they didn't even have a concept for, you know, Flatirons. They were expecting walking into the vestibule, the narthex, then walking into the sanctuary and they're like, this is a rock concert. And so that's our point. I think churches in Douglas County or somewhere else, they got a variance up to 175.
El Paso,
mm-hmm. which still doesn't help us at all. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that we polled our people about, like, would you be willing to come back? And almost half said to come back. The question we left off the survey was, you understand there's no kids ministry.
Yep.
So you would have Booker, you and Taylor would have Booker on your...
We're not coming back.
We're not coming back, right? Jesse on our staff, he has four kids. He goes, no, we're not coming back. We're not... Have you ever been to a school Christmas program?
Not willingly.
It's coming. It's coming.
It's coming.
It's the only reason you go there is because your kids are there or your grandkids are there.
Yeah.
But it is hell on earth.
Yeah.
All right. And nobody.
It's mayhem.
It's mayhem. All right. And so if there's 50 people in our auditorium, that includes kids on your laps and babies and all that kind of stuff. And it's just not reasonable. So we're asking for a variance. But so we have some thoughts and ideas that we want to. I don't want my staff to find out, hey, Jim just dropped a bomb. We're opening next week or something like that, which we're not. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to try to make a good plan with our staff to see what's reasonable, what we can bite off. But right now, 50 people at Flatirons, it's
not what we do.
It's not what we do. It's not an excellent environment. Yep. It's not fair to young parents. It's also not fair to people like who are going, listen, Right? So we understand, and we want to open as soon as possible, and we will. But we're trying to play by the right rules until the right rules actually don't make sense and are actually punishing us, mm-hmm. and then it's a different day.
Absolutely.
And that's yep. all I'll say about that.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, you don't mean to press.
That's that 3 minutes.
That was good.
I meant 30 seconds or 3 minutes.
Yeah,
kind of like 10. My sermons.
Yeah. What is, I didn't make a
that
face.
That face,
there.
Man. Yeah, 25 minutes 20, or 40.
Or 45, yeah.
No, I'm bad. I've been better. I've been like 28 minutes.
You have been way better. You've been way better. Yeah, I'll tell you that off screen as well as on screen, I guess. So you don't want me to press into that even more?
Into what?
Your last bit of, I won't say anything about us dealing with our government mandated building stuff.
I have a lot of opinions on it.
Yeah.
But you're pulling this out of me, aren't you?
Yeah.
Here's what doesn't make sense to me. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to talk about our Lafayette campus.
Yep.
So we have a renovated Walmart.
Yep.
And we have a renovated Albertsons.
Yep.
Okay. If you go right down the street to the other Walmart, they just ask for social distancing and there's no limit on capacity.
Yep.
If you go to Safeway or King Supers, they just ask you social distance and there's no limited on capacity.
Yep.
All right. And don't even get me started on, you can put 10,000 people on a street downtown led by government officials arm in arm and nobody gets arrested or shut down.
Yep.
All right. But then you go, well, church is different, yep. right? Church isn't important to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
it's not a value.
Right. Blackhawk opened up today.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not working the rest of the day.
Yeah.
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 Actually, I have to drive that way to go to a wedding. I might stop.
Yeah, it opened up today. Casinos are open.
Yeah.
I don't know what the limitations are, yep. but I bet it's more than 50.
Yep.
And so there's some judgment statements that unintentionally are coming out. That's probably all I need to say about that.
Yeah.
But I do want people to know is that I know some churches are defying things right now,
yep.
and they're opening up anyway.
Yep.
We are going to do and make the decision. We closed down church before the governor told us we had to.
Yep.
And we will open up when we think it's wise.
Yeah.
And hopefully the government will make some reasonable things out there, but then I have some hard decisions to make.
So yeah, which it makes sense. So for us as Christians,
I'm trying to make informed decisions mm-hmm. from our staff and our people
yep.
that are out there boots on the ground.
I mean, thinking through the rules right now, it's like I have a load-in team of 32 people. If everybody came to set up for load-in, most of their spouses couldn't come to church that day. That's not...
Well, no. Yeah, they may not even be able to sit through church
yep.
when you add up the people on stage. Yep.
Yeah, the worship right? team, everybody, yeah.
Right.
So for us as Christians...
But Aurora meets in a school.
Yep. And so we're even... Yeah, we got a long time to...
Right.
Yeah. So for us as Christians, thinking through that, what is it... How do we weigh that? How do we weigh the wise decision and the unwise decision of we're going to like abide by the rules here until it hits this point? What is that like balance there?
To me, that point is inequity in how it's being enforced.
Yep.
Okay? And so it's like... hey, we're going to allow this group to do this over here and a similar group that we don't feel is important.
Yep.
We're going to hold them to a different standard. And now we have a problem.
Yep.
Okay. So I'll give you an example. I think I've given this before. Back at Easter, there's a church in Louisville that sued the mayor of Louisville because he shut down. They wanted to have drive-in, like a drive-in theater
mm-hmm.
or drive-in church.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pastor would be outside and they broadcast. And I think some churches in this area have even done that through
yep.
AM radio signals
yep.
and stuff like that. He shut it down. And they won in federal court because he didn't shut down drive-through liquor stores and drive-through this and drive-through
yep.
that. He specifically picked out on churches and he lost in federal court.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's that inequity thing going. So again, why do we have... So my gym, and I'll leave the name out.
Yep.
All right? They have rules, but they can allow 350 people in their building.
Mm-hmm.
To go to the gym.
Yep.
Okay. So somebody said, that's okay. But I have three times the square footage in my Lafayette campus and I can have 50.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's what we're pushing into.
Yep.
All right. And so the last thing I want to do is put some ultimatum statement out there or some threatening statement out there is that we'll go civil disobedience, you know,
yeah.
something like that. You know, so I'm not saying that at this point. I just want our people to know is that we're paying attention. And if we feel like we are being singled out
mm-hmm.
because somebody in authority doesn't think that we actually are essential. I'll say this. I think a lot of the frustration and the unrest is because you've taken a big chunk of spiritual component out of the equation by closing churches.
Yep.
And so I think that the spiritual message that the church, you know,
yeah.
we've been charged to do is love and peace and hey, take a breath, take a breath. Yep. That voice has been removed.
Yep.
Because, you know, our online up is between 40, 50,000 different IP addresses a week, right? But 50% of our people aren't listening at all.
Yeah.
You know, and so you pull that out and then you throw some matches out there and stuff like that. And you don't have any type of, or I don't want to say any type of, right. but I think the church, one of the missions is to bring that peacekeeper and yeah. peacemaker and some of that calm to a storm. And we haven't been doing a very good job of that.
Yeah. Well, since
we've been like silenced
yeah.
to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was anybody's agenda. I don't.
Yeah.
It is the result though.
Yep. Absolutely. And I think you then are looking to solve huge world problems without Jesus, and it's not possible.
You think?
You know?
Right.
Okay. So let's follow that then. So, thinking of the ultimatum, thinking of the threat, thinking of everything that's going on. I've been reading some of your emails as people have written in based off of Ben's talk last week. And as Ben's
Did Ben talk?
Ben talked, yeah.
Did you
watch it? Yeah. And it was great. And as we as a church, as we as human beings, as individuals said, like, hey, we're gonna stand up for everybody. We're gonna stand up for the African American that goes to my campus with my friend, whatever that is, and we're gonna stand up for the police officer, but we're gonna stand in the middle like Jesus did. And you've gotten just I mean, there's a stack of 400 emails right there that you've been reading through. A lot of them are good.
Most of them are good.
Yes. A lot of them are not good. And with that, like as people have either completely disbanded what we've taught on for years and years and years because they heard one message that disagreed with what they believe, or as people have looked at your stance on law enforcement for your lifetime and gone, oh, but then there's one talk that somebody else gave and now that we don't care about police officers either. With all that to say, as people start to discuss these type of things, I got a note from somebody that goes to my campus that their family believes everything opposite that they do. And there's good things with that and there's bad things with that. But as you come together in family discussions, as you come together with people that you love, we're all stepping into conversations now that we're trying to have that we haven't been having for years and years and years. What does it look like for us to step into those conversations where we might not agree with what's being said and we have to listen as well as like provide valid logical points? What does that look like for you as you're reading these emails to not let the anger just fuel you as you reply?
Yeah. So I've actually got a team of people around me helping me respond yeah. because counseling 101, don't go with your first edit yeah. because I just want to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
Because listen, I guess I should be a better person or I should be a stronger person. And it just comes with the territory of sitting in this chair in this office and leading this church is that I should have thicker skin and stuff like that. It is so, it just takes the wind out of your sails that people have been said, hey, I've been going to Flanders for 10, 12 years and all this. And then they hear one word or one phrase and they throw everything out, right? They just throw it all out. Like none of that ever mattered, you know? And then, it's like I've had, and I won't even tell the team, I've had some volunteers that quit. They quit their team based on Ben's talk.
Yep.
And I'm like, you've been a volunteer for this long, and don't you think maybe we should have a discussion? You know, instead of, or how about this? Is you send in an email going, and so Jim, I listened to the whole thing,
yep.
or whatever stupid thing you made us say, whatever that yep. is, and then they start firing off on what they thought they heard Ben say,
mm-hmm.
but they heard a word and then all their stuff came out and goes, I didn't hear anything else. He used that phrase, those two words mm-hmm. or whatever that is. And now I felt like that all of Flatterons, he's saying all of Flatterons is guilty of racism. Never said that.
Yep.
I don't think we're a racist church. I don't think racism is prevalent in our church at all. I mean, you're going to have
pockets of it. And
you're going to have, I don't think we're an alcoholic church, but I'm sure we got alcoholics in the audience
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
you know,
I
don't think that, I mean, we have everything, right? So I'm sure that they're represented, you know,
yeah.
somewhere in there, but, and lost my track of thought, but I'm listening to these people and they just find this one thing and they just absolutely throw it all away and they start zeroing in that one thing and make it a litmus test.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not a conversation. It's an accusation. It's a finger in your chest. And you did this, and you did this, and you did this. I mean, here's what's come, okay? Is like, I'm not a racist, right? And it's like Ben saying that Flanders has to apologize for being a racist church. He never said that.
Nope.
What he says, I want to search my own heart, and I don't think I contributed to racism knowingly at all.
Yep.
What I'm trying to say is, did I Have I done anything towards reconciliation? Yeah.
Have I fought against it?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I got to look at and rethink, going, it hasn't even been on my radar because I'm separated from it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that people of color, you know, they're not, like a lot of our local partnerships and our international partnerships are primarily made up of people of color,
yep.
right? And like when we go into Afghanistan or South Sudan or whatever, one of the things that we try to do is make sure that the locals are the staff people and not the primarily white North Americans yep. coming in and rescuing everybody. Yep. We really go in on that really big, but nobody's asking that question, you know? So here's what I get. So, hey, you're late to the party. You know, if you want to guarantee that somebody never comes to your party, when they come to your party, yell at them at the front door.
Yep.
I was like, okay, why did I raise my hand anyway? Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm not apologizing for just raising our hand. Yeah. Okay. Or when Ben said white privilege, okay, he did. I don't know what white privilege means in everybody's mind. He said, this is what
here's
I'm talking
the definition
about.
That I'm talking
All
about.
I'm talking about is the color of my skin has not been one thing that I've had to overcome, and it is for other people. That's all he meant. And I don't know all the political attachments to it, but he said, I just want to talk about this slice.
Yep.
And he actually said, my life has not been handed to me or my dad or we worked our butts off. Sorry, so I'm not saying that I'm an entitled person that everything was given to me because of my skin.
Yep.
He just said it wasn't handed to me because of my skin, but my skin wasn't something I had to overcome. And I realized that some people's lives are very different. I haven't been paying attention to that.
Yep.
I need to repent of that. And I feel maybe shame was one of the words he felt, but he didn't say we should all feel ashamed.
Yep.
He said, search our own hearts.
Yep.
All right. And this is what I say every time, you know, every time I teach on marital fidelity, I mean, I call out men hard.
Yeah.
Like, hey, most of the problems of the world go away if men would get their heads out of their butts. Okay. I know that not all men's heads are in their butts.
Yep.
Search your own heart, you know, and step up to the plate. That's all I'm saying. That's all he was saying in that. So he's calling, but I think revival always happens. And I think the church is on the edge of a revival. Yeah. I really do. Because conflict always kind of, you know, thins the herd, so to speak, you know, and says, okay, are you in? Because here's where we're going, all right? But if people have to listen, so going back to your original question is, you have to have a conversation. So I started with this, all right? The first thing is, because when Ben talked, I said, the first thing was, can we give each other some grace, right?
Yep.
So
from the start, before anything happens.
Before even Ben got it right. Here's what my old generation needs to do, okay? We're trying to raise up another generation of leaders. This is going to sound condescending. I don't mean for it to, okay? We stumbled when we were getting started, and we said what was in our heart, and it didn't come out perfectly.
Yep.
All right? I love Ben's talk.
Yeah.
As I listened to it several times and read through his manuscript, I had some things going through my head going, I probably would have said it different.
Yeah.
Because I know how some people my age might hear that.
Yeah.
But give this guy some grace. He's a young leader coming up. I said, we're not going to say it all, and we're not going to say it perfectly. Yeah.
It was our first at bat.
It was our first at bat.
You don't judge. There's a new documentary out about Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire in their like home run thing. You don't judge Sammy Sosa or Mark McGwire after their first at bat or their 500th. It's this long.
Is that a steroid play?
Oh, yeah. It's great. Yeah. but you don't judge it off of that. It's like, we're going to, with Ben's talk, we're going to look at Ben's heart. Flatiron's heart, us sitting at this table's heart.
Yeah, does anybody who knows Ben, who's been here around here more than 2-3 years, think that Ben got up there and we became a church of shame?
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't saying America's, I mean, you look back and America has moments that probably weren't our best.
Yeah.
Okay? And we can, like, I always say this, you want to really get into it, where are our Native Americans?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're in third world countries called reservations.
Yeah.
Okay? But so I got that. I got, what have you stood up for them? Where have you been on abortion for the last 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's like, hey, for the other thing is, can we stick to this one thing? Okay. If you want to talk about that, we can talk about that because my stance on abortion pro-life hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
My approach to it has.
Yeah.
I've been to jail twice, you know,
yeah.
in front of clinics. I didn't do it the right way.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
But I decided to preach about how good life is.
Yep.
And I believe Jesus, we're preaching Jesus here, not anti this, anti that, anti whatever political thing has raised its head this week. The answer is always Jesus. And Jesus changes hearts. And when a heart gets changed, you're no longer racist. And now you have different thoughts when it comes to a baby that's gestating in your womb and about materialism and greed and all the stuff that's dividing us. The answer is Christ. So I'm going to preach Christ,
yep.
Not abortion is murder. Okay? I'm not going to. I'm not going to start raising a thing about our borders or something like that. I'm going to say the answer is Christ, and we need to love our neighbor as ourself. All right. Yep. I'm not going to get into the politics of walls and deporting and stuff like that. That's not my deal. I love my neighbor. Mm-hmm. And what does Jesus teach me that? I'm going to preach Jesus, not anti anything.
That's great. With that. So you just said, we got time. I'm going into it. So you threw out the like, hey, I've been arrested twice, right? And you've told stories about like, I used to protest outside of Planned Parenthood.
I used to pray outside of it in front of doors. I never yelled at girls.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's what some people did.
Yeah, for sure.
They burned down clinics and everything like that. And I'm like, no, don't do that.
Yeah. When you're in the heat of that and you get arrested, you get all these things. When you're part of a cause and you get to that level of things, there's part of it that's like, oh, I like this. Like I'm seen as kind of like the front runner of it. But then you said, but I changed the way that I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? When you're at the front of something that's like, oh, I'm doing it the right way because you're getting all the praise from your side, you changed it so that way you would hit the other side.
Yeah.
Talk through that.
Yeah. So you can either curse the darkness, go protest the darkness, or you can light a candle.
Yeah.
That's the old saying, right? And light a candle is, how can I help this girl?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How can I help her? If she's so worried that she's going to be ostracized from her family and cut off from her family, there's my third bedroom. All right. Yep. That's the answer is, okay, like it or not, this girl is in a crisis, right? What does she need right now? Well, all she can see is, I just have to have this over, okay? Mm-hmm. Because the alternative is my life is over. And so I started trying to build up a church that loves people and cares for people, right? I tried to teach men to value women more because we've done a lot of men's retreats and a lot of men have said, hey, I've paid for this and that, you know, and three abortions and 12 abortions, all that kind of stuff. All right. It's like, that's on you, dude. All right. One is that you took something from a girl that you weren't willing to walk through her with.
Yep.
All right. And again, I know I get like, well, what about the life of the mother? I don't stop.
Yep.
We're just talking about, hey, I'm talking about the value of life.
Yep.
Right. And men haven't been, they've taken advantage of a lot of women, and not that women are victims all the time or something like that. Now women are making their own choices, but it's almost like, I don't think any woman would say, yeah, I love having abortions.
Yeah.
Right. This is right.
Right.
But it's almost like, it's an accepted norm or it's a, you don't even ask that anymore. Like, we have a lot of women that go to our church, and I know this well statistically, but I also know it relationally, who have been really, really broken and wounded by abortion.
Yeah.
All right. They don't need me to stand up there and tell them that what they did was wrong or bad or sin or whatever. They need healing.
Yep.
And they need forgiveness, right? Because everybody that's gone through that experience, everybody I know, all right, that I walk through on the front end and the back end, right? It's like, I need healing and forgiveness. And usually before they'll admit that, there's a lot of anger and defensiveness out there, which I understand.
Yeah.
I'm going to preach about life, okay? I'm not going to preach against, I'll preach against sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Ben and I point out, is racism is sin, okay? I don't know how to fix everything, all right? I do know it starts with Christ and loving one another and offering and asking for forgiveness. Seems like that's the way back from everything, all right? So go back to your original, you got people that have different agreements.
Yeah.
Is one is give each other some grace. All right. Trust the heart of the person that's saying it. And you really can love people that disagree with you.
Yeah.
Don't make everything a litmus test. And certainly don't throw out, 15 years of history because, oh, you said the one thing, right? And that brings up another thing.
Yeah.
Where have you been on this? And where have you been on this? And where have you been on this? And why don't you just do more of that? It's like, hey, why don't you do that with your marriage sometime?
Yeah.
Your husband or your wife walks in the kitchen and goes, hey, I want to own that I did something wrong. Well, it's a little late to the party, don't you think? And what about what you did last year? And what about you said about my mom? And what did you, and, all right, that marriage is over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so there's part of him going, I don't agree with you on everything.
Yeah.
But I do trust your heart on most everything.
Yeah.
And I trust that, that you're willing to have a conversation with me. And anytime that happens, trust goes way up. You know, it's like when you started being, teaching, you brought me your stuff to go look at this, all right? And you trusted me, and I could say, I'd say this different, and this different, and this different, right? That. And you could have said, pound sand, Jim, and done your own thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, it was a conversation of trust. And I if we just want to fight, then we're just going to see more of the same.
Yep.
Right? the only way back, and I think our country is on the edge, and I think churches are on the edge of becoming irrelevant, is if somebody were willing to go, okay, we just want to have some conversations, and we need to give you some grace, and we're not going to say it perfectly, but it's not. So if I say, if you're black, and I'm having a conversation with you, I'm going to tell you what's on. This is my perception. If you come back at me with that's just typical of whatever that is, I'm just going to retreat.
Yep.
All right. And this vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, if you say, hey, my perception of white people is this, and I say, that's because you people, you know, it's like the conversation's over.
Yeah.
It's like, why are we having the conversation? Are we seeking the truth or we just want to win a fight?
Yeah.
Because you can win a fight and lose a war.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what I think that we've turned every statement that comes out of somebody's mouth. And not to get off on another tangent, but the media is their only thing they do is pour gas on it.
Yeah.
He said this. Go.
Go.
She said this. Does that mean this? Right?
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of grace. I'm looking for truth. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking to win. I wouldn't think that my ideas were false, or I wouldn't have them. Mm-hmm. So I've been holding on to this. But what Jesus taught over and over is just take your thoughts and ideas and just lay them beside what I said is true, and you might want to rethink them. They could confirm you're right.
Yeah.
All right. But they also might go and
Yeah.
There's some stuff in the, running in the background I wasn't even aware of, and that's what Ben's point was.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't shame us. He actually made the statement, I'm not going to apologize for being a white man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nobody heard that.
Nope.
We're supposed to all jump on the bandwagon of the whole race is supposed to apologize for that. No, he didn't. He said, don't do that.
Yeah.
Right. What he did say was search your heart and to see if there's anything in there that would move towards reconciliation. And some of you are already doing it. And some of you might go, I didn't even thought about. Yeah. And that would be right.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's great. It's
got 3 minutes.
3 minutes. It's a mind shift from.
Mind shift means repent. Yeah. It's the same word.
Yeah. It changes from letting politics run your thoughts to letting Jesus run your thoughts and letting your politics line up with Jesus as opposed to the other way.
Yeah.
You can try to force Jesus in anything, but it's going to be wrong.
Say that again?
You're going to try to force Jesus in anything, it's going to be wrong as opposed to forcing everything underneath Jesus.
Very good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't say the first way.
But you know what? You're a young leader and I'm gonna have grace for you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm gonna write you an email later.
Yeah. I can't remember. So with that, you just said like, I lean into men really hard and the church is on the brink of either like making a lot of change or becoming irrelevant. So for the men in our church, the men that are listening to this that are part of other churches, with this scenario, with everything that's going on right now, what's your main thing looking at? We as men need to do blank and here's where you're starting.
And the white community and the black community all agree on this. The number one problem in our country is fatherlessness.
Yeah.
Okay. The black community is raising their hand and going, where are the fathers? And the white community is leading, because it's not like the white community is going, well, all our fathers are all great, right?
Yeah.
Fatherlessness, right? Because we have fathers who've been raised fatherless, and now we are trying to make it up as we go. And if again, not all the problems of the world, and I'm certainly not letting women off the hook, right? But I'm going to pick my battles carefully right now.
Yeah.
If men would lean into who God's created them to be as a spiritual, you know, spiritual masculinity, not toxic, spiritual masculinity, imaging God to their families, if we could lean into that and run after that, a lot of stuff goes away.
Yeah.
All right? Because if you are a wounded man out there because something's lacking in your life, you're going to try to fill it up with something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's probably not the thing that you're down there protesting about.
Yeah.
Right? Because it doesn't even make sense to throw a brick through a window of somebody you don't know who could be a person of color that you're out there supposed to be advocating for. And it's like, you've lost something in there. You're just mad.
Yep.
You're just angry. And like I said, I'm not going to say that. Some of the events of the last few weeks are triggers, but they're just that. And they released a whole lot of pent up. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of anger in my life about a lot of things, and I'm going to point it at this today. And I'll point it at that tomorrow, and I'll point it at something else. But until that anger goes away, which can only come through healing from Christ, right? And then we can step back into, like, I think the church is one of the church's greatest missions needs to become alongside men to step into the lives of young boys and daughters who don't have dads.
Yeah.
Right? And because we have a lot of good dads out there with a lot of good dad left in them. And we got a lot of young dads out there and people without dads who need somebody to come alongside of them. So again, we can, I get this one, some guy started a YouTube channel just to talk to me, yep. right? And I don't, I'm not going to engage it, but there's part of it that said, I want to go, dude, you just keep on throwing them. You just keep on throwing them. And you know what? There's probably some truth in what you're saying, mm-hmm. right? We've never met,
yeah.
but there's probably some truth, and I'm trying to look at what you're saying. But Jesus has this big thing about why are you walking around pointing up everybody's speck yep. and not calling out the beam in your own eye? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm not trying to fire back. Because
yeah.
I want to fire back right now and go, you, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I'm trying to look at the log the hanging in my yeah. own face. And before my first edit comes out, I'm really trying to back up and go, okay, this person's coming from a story. He has a story. Mm-hmm. He has some wounds. He has some anger about a lot of different things. And I'm sure there's stuff to be angry with me about, but it's disproportionate.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm trying imperfectly.
Yeah.
But I'm trying.
That's great.
Right?
Cool.
Is this where you wanted this to go?
It went three different directions. I didn't know where it would go. It was good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. See you next time.